hour two of your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew is officially underway. The phone number for you to take part, 651-989-5855. Got a few people on hold at the moment. You can also tweet at us, at JDTCNT. Use the hashtag TCNT or email JD at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
Yeah, we were talking about the homeless encampment in North Minneapolis that held off city officials. Because city officials and the city leadership are a bunch of cowards. Mm-hmm. So the activists won again. So this homeless engagement.
Yeah. Protesters dressed all in black with their faces covered.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, Omicron.
Yeah, that's normal.
You know, yeah.
That's normal. The defending tent cities in Minneapolis because they want more of them, apparently.
Let's go and talk with Ken in Andover. Wants to talk about the potential of hotels for the homeless. Good morning, Kevin. Welcome to Justice and Drew.
Good morning, guys. I travel throughout the Midwest for work, and I was in La Crosse, Wisconsin last week, and they have a row of hotels, probably about six of them in a row. Before getting into town, I had already made my reservation. The hotel next to me was one of these homeless hotels.
Okay.
And when I pulled up, I just wanted to leave, and I couldn't cancel my reservation, but my window was next to this hotel, and it was all hours. You could see people shooting up right outside the door. Yeah. The place was absolutely trashed, and I don't want that for my city. I'm from Los Angeles, California, and it's been doing this since I was a kid. And it just blows my mind that instead of training these people, giving them the tools, it's the whole teach a man to fish. You know,
yeah.
And it's really frustrating that I'm the one that is the fascist. I am the one that's the BLM. But yet I'm the one paying for these homeless hotels or these programs. Why not just teach them how to do something? I've been poor, and I didn't like it, and I just kept improving myself as I grew older. I don't understand.
Well, part of the, thanks for the call, Kevin. And this isn't to, you know, I understand the cycle here, but the cycle needs to break. You know, part of the problem is when you see that type of situation. So in his case, you know, whether it's a homeless encampment and, you know, people that are doing their drugs there, or whether it's a hotel, you know, or a building that's been given over to those that are homeless to seek shelter. And you see individuals out there, you know, doing drugs. That's Democrat leadership enabled. If you go to the actual nonprofit groups and the advocacy groups that want to actually help the homeless, you know, they want to do exactly what Kevin was talking about. They want to help individuals get out of the lifestyle. They want to help people, you know, get pointed in the right direction to rehabilitate themselves. Unfortunately, those individuals, you know, those organizations are often beholden to the left far too often, because the left feeds them and funnels a bunch of money to them to keep that cycle going. And therein lies part of the problem, too. We need more advocacy groups that are going to point at Democrat leadership and go, stop making the problem worse.
Yeah.
Work on fixing it. But unfortunately, I think a lot of them are too afraid to do that because they're fearful of losing their funding.
And we know what doesn't work. That's what drives me nuts about this. We know what doesn't work. What L.A. has been doing for generations doesn't work. What Seattle has been doing for generations doesn't work because their problems have only gotten worse.
Yeah.
So don't do what they do. Don't mimic their policies. Don't mimic their solutions. Come up with new ones. Try something different. But that's what we see over and over and over. Well, they did this program in L.A. and they spent $60 million on affordable housing and on trying to rehabilitate the home. Well, none of what they did worked. Because they have more tent cities, they have more encampments, they have a bigger homeless problem than they've ever had. Same thing with Seattle, same thing with Portland, same thing with Chicago. We're seeing it here in Minneapolis. So at some point, the fingers, like you said, need to be pointed at the people that are making these decisions, that are making these policies, and say, your stuff hasn't worked. We need to try new stuff.
It's such a racket, too, man. I mean, it's like
it's unbelievable.
We'll talk about Biden here in a moment, you know, but, you know, the a lot of the headlines this morning are, you know, the White House is going to focus on shifting the message. The message isn't the problem, you guys. The message is that, I mean, the problem is the policy. Jacob Frey, in that Q&A that he had with local media, you know, we're gonna spend all this money, and they're focusing on the messaging. The messaging isn't the problem. It's the policy. But unfortunately, the way that they go about doing it, it enables them to continue to perpetuate it, because you throw money at a problem and then you have individuals that go, okay, now we just have to see what happens. It's like the guaranteed income program. They already tried, they've been doing the guaranteed income program in St. Paul. Nobody is willing to talk about whether or not it's yielded any results whatsoever. So now Minneapolis is going to adopt it with their own experimental $500 a month guaranteed income for some 20 families, when all you need to do is look at St. Paul to see if their program actually yielded any sort of positive results. But nope, when it comes to the left, hey, we're just trying something. We're just trying something. We just need to see if it works out. But then you rarely ever hear whether it actually panned out in the end and benefited anybody.
Oh, and you're going to tell me in whatever, however long this pilot program, I forget, I don't have it in front of me, but say 3 years, something like that. You're going to tell me at the end of 3 years, when you've got these 200 families that are receiving this basic monthly income, no strings attached, you're going to tell me that some DFLer is going to be like, well, we're cutting them off now.
Right.
Well, no, of course not.
No.
They depend on this money. They need this money. In fact, if anything, we should probably give them more.
Yeah.
We should give them more, and we should add another 200 families.
The experiment didn't work because we didn't give them enough.
Right.
That's what's going to end up coming down to. Yeah. Before we get into this, Walls proposing this $2.7 billion infrastructure package, came across this morning. I was actually looking for the start time. President Joe Biden's going to give his press conference later on today, 3 o'clock our time. So he's, you know, looking at his past year, right? His first year as president. Found this article on CNN, and I'm really kind of surprised. So it's the 10 crises that demand answers at Biden's press conference. And the opening line alone before you get into the 10 crises they lay out is harsh enough. If President Joe Biden's only task in his solo press conference on Wednesday was restoring his battered political standing, it would be daunting enough.
Yeah, he sucks.
Wow.
God, he sucks. But we knew he sucked.
Yes.
We've known he sucked now for a couple of decades. I mean, it's not like this is his first foray into the public square. Joe Biden has been sucking at politics and at government his entire career. But that didn't stop the same yahoos at CNN from propping him up and pretending that he was some great and noble statesman. No, he sucks.
It is fascinating to me to go and see those old clips from the 80s of Joe Biden. It is absolutely fascinating because he is just he's a jerk for one. You go watch those old clips when he actually had energy, when he was in his doing that thing with my fingers prime. It's not even the same man anymore. But you watch those old clips of him in Congress and he's just a jerk. Mm-hmm. It is incredible to me. And those should have been plastered everywhere, man. Those clips should have been, and I know that there were some of them out there, but that should have been.
Oh, please. We weren't even allowed to talk about, Hunter Biden's business dealings that he got while Joe was VP. I mean,
all of the horrible racist statements that he made in the past that everybody just glossed over. All right, before we dive into what CNN thinks needs to be answered at the press conference today, let's go back to the phones and talk with Tom in St. Paul, wants to discuss the homeless situation. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning, guys. I used to serve as an administrative assistant in a rather, it was a group of high-level executives, very well paid, and they liked to wear their progressive nature on their sleeves. And I remember very well, a couple of years ago, we were in a very, very cold snap. We're talking, 20 below real temps. And the subject of one of our department meetings was allowing people to sleep on light rail. And I remember them saying how compassionate it was of Met Transit to allow people to do this. And I was dumbfounded thinking, you're the compassionate one here. And you think letting someone sleep on a train or giving them a free needle or simply giving them everything is compassionate.
Nope.
It seems there's this disconnect amongst people like that who don't understand that they got where they were not by being handed things, but by working for it. And it's just a mindset that I thank God can't wrap my head around.
it's pure enablism. I mean,
yeah.
That's really what it is. They want to continue to enable these people to live this life that is I mean, that is detrimental not only to them and to the people around them, but to the society at large. You know, and this is the same party that will hammer you left and right about how you have societal obligations to get vaccinated. You have societal obligations to pay 30% of your income in taxes. These are part of the societal contract. Where's the societal contract where I want to get on public transit and not have to step into a puddle of pee and sit next to somebody who's got a needle dangling out of their arm? Is there no societal contract at play there?
Well, it is. It's very self-serving. It's very self-serving to have a mentality like that. It's very easy to sit back and feel good about yourself when you go and support, well, it's really nice that we're letting these homeless people go and sleep on trains. You know, it's really nice that we're giving homeless people, you know, empty hotel rooms to go and sleep in. And then you can just go, that's really good. And then you can walk away and forget about it. It's a very self-serving. It's a very, very self-serving and selfish mentality. From CNN, the 10 crises that demand answers at Biden's press conference. I'm actually surprised by this. Other than one, right, they're pretty spot on. So, number one, will Biden's big COVID-19 testing push work?
No.
Okay, so we got that answer. Thank you, Drew.
I mean, define work.
I don't know what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, what is the end game here?
Okay, so, yeah. So they have it in here. If the distribution plan works, it could alleviate some pressure on his administration, which was admittedly caught off guard by Omicron. Okay, but again, in this, it doesn't, right? Biden needs to restore confidence in his COVID-19 leadership and to specifically guarantee that people who want tests can order them and have them delivered. So basically,
that's it.
That's all that it is.
So Biden needs to set up a website where somebody can go request something,
right,
and it will be delivered.
So basically, he did something.
You know, there's a zillion companies that have already done this. There's one, I don't know if people have heard of it. It's called Amazon. They do it really, really well.
This is actually really fascinating, because will Biden's big COVID-19 testing push work? But really what it means is, will he just be able to deliver the tests?
Will people feel better once this site is up and running? That appears to be the question.
I don't even think that's it. I think it's just, will he be able to deliver tests? He basically just, because this does nothing to stop the pandemic.
Right, but yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
Right,
What's the point of the testing push? The point of the testing push is apparently just to make people think nicer things about Joe Biden. Because how does it impact the pandemic at all?
Number two, where does Biden draw the risk equation between mitigation and normal life?
Hopefully a lot farther than Sonia Sotomayor does.
Okay, it's true. Number three, does Biden understand fears over inflation are not transitory? And again, hat tip to CNN, right? So what'll be interesting to see is if Biden actually addresses any of these particular issues coming up later on today. Again, the press conference is scheduled for right around 3 o'clock. They say under this one, the great paradox of the Biden presidency is that he set out to help working Americans, but is being accused of not doing enough to alleviate their economic plight in the short term. He wants to enshrine into law affordable health care, better care for the elderly, alleviate child poverty, provide free kindergarten, to make student debt less of a burden, and wean the country off of carbon energy prone to price spikes. Yet recent polls suggest many Americans don't think he's tackling the problems that matter most to them. Because most Americans are right, he's not tackling the problems that are most important to them. He's making them worse. Does the president now accept that the White House insistence for months that the rising prices are not transitory came across as dismissive to hurting families? Look, and again, hat tip to CNN for actually going and pointing this out.
Yeah.
Number four, how are the U.S. and Russia suddenly back at a Cold War-style showdown? Yeah, man. Putin's about ready to take it. He's going to take Ukraine.
Yeah, no, it's American weakness. It's American leadership weakness. I mean, that's what Putin has been testing the limits since Biden took office.
Yep.
He's been becoming more and more provocative. And now we're at, let me find the clip. We are at a point where Jen Psaki, just yesterday.
I think, as I noted a few minutes ago, we believe we're now at a stage where Russia could at any point launch an attack on Ukraine.
Russia would not be gearing up for an attack on Ukraine if they feared any consequences from the United States. Clearly they don't.
We'll run through the last of these really quick and try to grab these phone calls ahead of our conversation with Representative Tom Emmer. So number five, how will Biden contain the nuclear threat from North Korea and Iran? boy, we weren't really dealing with that issue when Trump was in office. Were we?
It was nice.
It was pretty nice. Cool.
When our tensions with North Korea specifically were ratcheted down quite a bit.
Six, what's next for voting rights? Nothing. Thank you, Sinema and Manchin.
Everybody has them.
It's true.
That's what's next for voting rights. True. Everybody's got them. Everybody's had them. There's nobody that was unable to vote in the last election. There's nobody that's going to be unable to vote in upcoming elections. So that's where we're at with voting rights.
Number seven, can Biden build back better? This is from CNN, man. It's just like, wow. Eight, how will Biden counter the threat from Trump that never goes away? That's the one they had to throw in here. Yeah. Trump is gearing up to play a massive role in the midterm elections as possible, right? A precursor for potentially another presidential run. Number nine. Does Biden have answers on the southern border?
No.
I got that one. Yeah, it's true. Drew, you're right. And then 10, how bad will the situation with China get? Again, that's coming from CNN. And a hat tip to him, man. The Biden administration cannot run from this anymore. I think even the media understands now that they are a year, we're a year plus into this presidency. And, they're staring at 10 crises that demand answers. CNN is saying this.
Yeah. Got a lot of people on hold want to talk about this and some other things. Plus, Representative Tom Emmer is going to join us next. Stick around. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew Carey's on. We got full phone lines at the moment. A lot of people on hold. We will get to your calls as quickly as we can. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I see a Don who resides in Burnsville.
Oh. Awesome. Can't wait.
I know. It's very excited.
So excited. I am excited to talk with Representative Tom Emmer this morning. Good morning, sir. You're kind of weather outside right now. I think the high is nothing.
The high is nothing right now. it's nothing degrees out.
This is Tom from Delano.
Good morning, sir. Hey, did I hear correctly? There's more Democrats jumping ship, retiring ahead of they cowering in fear and saying
do we have a number now?
My name's Paul. This is between y'all.
Yeah. Great talk. See you out on the field. There's 28 now. 28 have announced that they're leaving, and we're not done yet. The record is 1992, I want to say. 1992 or 1994, there were 41. So we got a ways to go yet, but two more yesterday, one from Rhode Island, one from California, announced they're not coming back. They see what's coming. But Republicans got to take a deep breath and understand they have won nothing yet, John.
Yeah.
There's a long way to go.
Yep.
Don't get cocky.
9 months, one day in politics can be a lifetime. So, you just got to continue to expose them for the fraud that they are. They said they were going to come to Washington. They were going to be moderate problem solvers. They were going to work with Republicans and get things done to improve Americans' lives. And what have they done? Well, this administration is responsible for inflation that we haven't seen in 40 years. Their defund the police rhetoric, and quite frankly, their policies have spurred a crime wave across this country. Southern border, that was not an issue 1 year ago from tomorrow, is just a mess. So, and the list goes on and on.
Well,
incompetent leadership, and we've got to continue to make sure the voters understand that, because they'll come out next fall.
Well, it's pretty fascinating. There were some officials, for what it's worth, and there was making headlines this morning of word that the White House wanted to shift messaging in the wake of Biden's failing poll numbers, and we all know it's not the messaging, it's the policy. But we just ran through an article from CNN that was fascinating. Biden's going to have this press conference today, 3 o'clock our time, and they ran through the 10 crises that Biden needs to address, and they didn't hold back. And that's coming from CNN, and for what it's worth, it shows that you know, there's an expectation here, even from the left. And they see, you know, the problems that this administration is facing right now. And even an outlet like CNN is going, you need to answer these, all of these issues that are, you know, you've been in office for a year now, you know, and saying it, what we all projected and predicted was going to happen. But even an outlet like CNN is calling it out.
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing, John. And you pointed out, is that the media, which is literally the, you know, they are an arm of the Democrat, the socialist Democrats in this country. They're frustrated with this guy. You know, and when they start reporting on it, it's like, boy, this must really be bad. I'm serious.
Yeah.
And you correctly note, my goodness, now the media is being critical of this guy. The media will tell us anything but the truth. 90% of the time. And now when they are frustrated with a lack of leadership, with the incompetence that is the White House, that is these socialist Democrats that have taken over Congress, my gosh, now you've really been screwing up if they're not with you.
Well, and you know, you mentioned a moment ago, and we wanted to touch upon this. We were covering the story. It broke last week. There was a reporter that went down just outside of Los Angeles, Alameda, and the trains are coming into the Alameda stations to be surfaced. But the containers are stretching outside, you know, of these train stations, and individuals in the area have been coming in and, you know, almost old style train robbery and looting these trains and of their merchandise. And we mentioned, you know, if it's happening in this place, it's probably happening in a lot of places. And sure enough, story's beginning to spread. You know, we've have similar circumstances around the country, including Chicago, where this type of thing is happening. And now, you know, again, to the media and people calling it out, people are actually stepping up and saying this is failed Democrat leadership and policies that they put in place of lowering penalties for felonies that have enabled these individuals to go and do this, because they know if they get caught and what they're caught with doesn't match a certain dollar amount, they're going to get a slap on the wrist and sent back out into the streets. And what concerns me the most, Representative Tom Emmer, is that in order to fix this problem, it's going to take a change in leadership, because I don't see the current leadership in these different places around the country shifting their tone on this, unless they see public pressure. But again, that requires the media to continue to step up and call these things out. So it's just, it's a scary scenario of what's happening across the country right now.
I love that you say, unless they see what's... Look, the mayor of San Francisco was an advocate for defunding the police, and now all of a sudden, this is not going to happen on my watch.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, guys. I mean, we've seen what you did. And, John, you pointed out, it's the Democrat city slap-on-the-wrist strategy for dealing with these crimes that's allowed these criminals to loot with no fear of consequence. I mean, last weekend, there was footage aired, as you referenced, of this apocalyptic scene around the Los Angeles ports, which, by the way, the Los Angeles ports, I believe, are where half the, nearly half of all U.S. imports go through two Southern California ports. So you got these criminals, and that's what they are. This, I'm sorry, for those of you at the Star Tribune, I don't mean to offend you. This is not civil unrest.
No, they're just residents experiencing criminality.
Yeah, please. This is civil unrest. These people, you know, they've been held down for so long. No, they haven't. Come on. We judge you by the content of your character, right? This is what it's about. You're a criminal. You break the law, there should be consequences. And they're breaking the law. In broad daylight, they go out and raid packages meant for consumers all across the country. By the way, it's like 90 shipping containers per day, with Union Pacific reporting, and I think it's 160% increase in looting over just the past year. The crimes, John, sadly, are rarely investigated. The Los Angeles Police Department only responds to reports of theft when they come directly from a train carrier, which rarely happens. Mm-hmm. And even when criminals are pursued, LA's no cash bail policy and extended time frame for suspects to appear in court has led to out of control crime in the city. So I'm telling you, it's this is a direct result of failed leadership. And yes, John, it's almost always a socialist Democrat who believes in unicorns and daisies, no matter what they preach.
Representative Tom Emmer, great stuff as usual. Thank you so much for joining the program. Hope you have a good week, and we look forward to catching up with you next week. All right.
Yep, and John, you enjoy that nothing temperature.
Yeah, man. It's zero. Yeah, it's, man. I like me some indoors, so I'm okay with it once I get home.
Take care, Tom.
Right, man.
Hey, Drew, a bit of breaking news. I know we have some phone calls coming up, but hey, St. Louis Park City Council adopted an emergency ordinance requiring face coverings in St. Louis Park last night.
Oh, good.
Starts on Friday.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so I guess I gotta find mine, I think. I'm not sure where it is.
I'll just cover my face with my hand. I'll do more than a cloth mask.
Gonna invest in some turtlenecks and just pull it on up like that guy at the dentist. All right, everybody on hold. Stay on hold. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get right to your phone calls coming up. We will get into also the Minneapolis-St. Paul vaccine or test mandate does start today. And some fascinating audio coming out of Montgomery County.
Oh, it's great.
In the debate,
oh, it's so good.
In the debate that took place there. We'll share that audio with you coming up.
It's going to be the best 2 minutes of your day. Yeah. City's News Talk, the Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew continues on. My name's Drew. That guy's John.
Hi.
I'm in here pushing my buttons this morning.
Yeah, and yeah, nobody likes us anymore. Sam went to Mexico and Brett just decided not to show up.
Yeah, fake Sam is... Maybe fake Sam thought he was going to Mexico.
Yeah.
Maybe fake Sam went to Mexico.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's what happened. Fake Sam said he was going to be here a long time ago. And fake Sam doesn't understand the concept of time. To him, it's just a construct.
Fake Sam, 25 minutes is an hour and a half.
Apparently. All right. We do have a lot of stuff to get to, including your phone calls. Some people, people are on hold. And they need to be spoken to, apparently.
Don in Burnsville. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Say,
good morning, Wednesday
agree
morning.
With most of your criticism, what? I think it's valid.
All right.
But let's
end the call there.
Great call.
Thank you, Don.
Hey,
don't
later.
Say any more.
But.
Oh, damn.
If you're going to criticize, then I think you should offer some solutions, and I haven't heard any from you.
Yeah, you did.
You just didn't pay attention to them. Enforce the law. would be the first one. Get these people, the ones that are out there that need mental health services and need treatment rehabilitation services, get them to them. The ones that are out there otherwise just need to figure out a place to stay. You know, but you know, I see people online talking about how, oh, you're fine with people sleeping outside in 20-degree weather. No, I'm not. The people that are fine with it are the ones that are going out there, showing up, preventing the city services from going and clearing out these encampments. They want them to stay there in this 20 below in freezing weather, sleeping outside.
I think what you've got to do is attack the problem at the beginning so you don't have a continuing problem. Your solutions are just to take care of the people in currently in that situation,
but the problem is the ship has already set sail on the beginning.
Yeah,
like the beginning. You're right. It would have been great to tackle this problem at the start and have a robust economy with an abundance of jobs and enforcement of the laws to keep individuals from being able to go and set up encampments in the first place, so the people that really want to go get help can go get help. But that ship has sailed, and now we've got encampments and people on the street and the offers of potential free hotel rooms and stuff like that. So now you have to kind of solve the problem that exists now, because you can't stop it from happening because it's already here.
When your house is on fire, you put the fire out first. Hold on, Don. When your house is on fire, you put the fire out first, then you go and figure out what caused the fire. Right now, the house is on fire.
But if you've got a leaky gas main, you shut the gas main off and don't just keep going from house to house putting out the fire. Yeah. And that's what your suggestion is.
No. Sounds like an Abbott and Costello routine all of a sudden. Who's on first? Thanks for the call, Don. Let's talk with Diane in Wisconsin. She wants to comment on Joe Biden giving his press conference today at 3 o'clock. Good morning, Diane. Thank you so much for holding on this morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I just have a comment, I guess. Back, like, right after the election in 2020 and Biden won, or supposedly won, didn't he get all these calls from all these world leaders saying, oh, my God, we're so glad that you won?
Allegedly.
And then wasn't he announced that Putin also said the same thing, that he was glad to have somebody that was competent in the White House?
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
And then Biden said he was looking forward to working with him, and they're going to fix all the problems.
Mm-hmm. No, Diane, you're right. They had the phone call, but that was the problem. They had the phone call, and they've called to say all those things, and then they actually spoke to him, and they went, "Oh my gosh."
We're in trouble. Stand the call.
No. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Diane.
That pressure's going to be, they say press conference, but how much, pressing is going to be done?
We'll find out. I'm really looking forward to this. Man. In a very strange sort of crane your neck around to see the train wreck kind of fashion.
I want to know what they're giving him. What are they
pumping him full of?
Yeah, man.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was ivermectin? Wouldn't that be funny?
We find out he was given a horse paste before the debates with Trump. That'd be amazing. Hey, just real quick, because we talked about it earlier, and then we want to talk about the vaccine mandates and this amazing audio out of Montgomery County. In the Star Tribune this morning, they do have an article about Walz' proposed $2.7 billion infrastructure package. We'll be talking about this for a long time as we continue to head into the new year. You know, they say in the article, and it's absolutely right, these are usually measures that come down to the wire or end up getting hashed out during special sessions. They rarely are they ever done in a timely manner.
I had the same thought when I saw the story yesterday. I kind of grabbed it and I was like, well, we're gonna have to bring this up tomorrow. And then part of me was like, why do we even cover these initial proposals when it comes to these massive bonding bills? They're kind of, I get it, it's what governor wants, it's the starting position, yada yada yada. Republicans will come out with their starting position, yada yada yada. But anybody that's paid attention to Minnesota politics knows that nothing is going to get done on any sort of bonding measures or any sort of infrastructure bills. And then at the very end of the session, they're going to try to cram it all in there, and they're going to have these overnight sessions, and they're going to come up with some massive bill that hardly anybody's read that they're going to pump out right at the last minute, or it's going to get done in a special session, one or the other.
I just want to share a couple of comments that Walz had to kick this whole thing off. Minnesota expects to get about $6.8 billion in federal government, and none of us have any sort of idea whatsoever. It is almost unfathomable how much money that is. That is an obscene amount of money. But Walz said they are still waiting for information on exactly how much the state needs to put forward to meet matching fund requirements. Then he said, we can't leave a single penny on the table. Oh, please. Like he's going to watch out for every single penny and how it gets spent. Give me a break. Walz is offering Tuesday indicates a mix of cash and borrowing. The proposal would use $2 billion in state-backed general obligation bonds, more than $200 million in cash. The Minnesota Management and Budget Commissioner, Jim Showalter, said, as well as a variety of other bonds and funding sources. Showalter also said the recommendation is fiscally responsible. Oh, please. Oh, please.
Okay.
Yeah. You can.
Oh well, he said it.
Shove
so
that
it must
behind
be
your. Shove that behind your mask. One more item on here, Drew. Is this one? There's $213.8 million included in Walz's plan for the University of Minnesota system. It's a down payment to address a 10-year backlog of nearly $5.1 billion in deferred maintenance, according to the university president Joan Gable. Where's all the tuition money going? It supports our students, how we do research, discovering our capacity for impact as an institution. They have to pay to go there, don't they?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Why in the world is there $5.1 billion in deferred maintenance, and why do we need to give another $213.8 million?
Those are good questions, John.
Those
are good questions.
Just throwing it. Okay.
Nobody ever asks just where the money goes in our institutes of higher learning.
Just throwing it out
that
there.
That is a question that is verbatim. You are not supposed to ask about it. You're just supposed to assume it's a college. So they're doing good things. Obviously,
yeah.
It's a college. It's nothing that a college does can be considered wasteful. Meanwhile, you've got faculty members, administrators, college presidents, college football, sports programs sucking up millions and millions and billions of dollars on a nationwide scale. If you look at the highest paid state employee in a lot of states, a lot of times it's the big college football coach.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of that money is going.
Well, maybe we can get a clearer answer during this year's special session. Okay. I'm just holding out hope. Let's go and talk with Douglas and Egan. Wants to talk about Biden's presser today, 3 o'clock.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, since it's so late in the afternoon, if it's 3 o'clock here, it's 4 o'clock in D.C.,
yep.
and he has a tendency to not make it to the afternoon. What are the odds of this press conference actually happening?
I think it's going to happen.
They've been hyping it up for about a week.
Yeah, we're not going to see him for another 90 days after it's over.
Right. Oh, he'll have to go back into molting.
Yeah, let's put him back in the cryo chamber.
Afterwards.
He's got his own little back-to-pod like Boba Fett.
take me to my pod. Take me to my pod.
And he just goes to sleep, and then he has flashbacks of when he actually, had energy.
Yeah, I expect it'll happen. I mean, like I said, they've been hyping this and they've been promoting this press conference now for over a week. It's bizarre to me that, the president of the United States holding a press conference is such a rare and unusual event all of a sudden that now it gets like a week's of promotion when, the last guy did them pretty much every single day.
Well, and we're a joke overseas. I saw an article this morning coming out of The Guardian and it was basically sort of going, a lot of people didn't like Trump, but what the heck's going on with Biden? I mean, this is essentially what the gist of it was,
Yeah. Well, he's horrible.
Yeah. He's awful.
He's incompetent and just a bad person on top of it.
From the Pioneer Press, St. Paul's mandate requiring patrons of bars and restaurants to show proof of COVID-19 vaccination or a negative test is not as far-reaching as Minneapolis. It applies to all bars, but only about one-third of restaurants, those that are licensed in Minneapolis. This is all just a bunch of bogus, all-for-show nonsense.
It's going to do so much nothing.
You, however, found a piece of audio. We'll get some details in this, what to expect today. But you found this piece of audio yesterday. Montgomery County, they were having a board meeting. Is that what was taking place here?
Yeah, it was a health services board meeting where they were contemplating, further lockdowns, further school shutdowns, further distance learning. And anybody who follows Bethany Mandel on Twitter, will be familiar with her, and she's been doing fantastic work throughout this pandemic, and shining a light on the mismanagement and the misbehavior of the government and school board officials in her area. And she testified at this meeting, and this is going to be your best 2 minutes of your day.
So everyone here is going to tell you why this is bad for businesses and for residents. I'm here to tell you why this is bad for you as politicians. This is going to be the end of your cushy government bureaucratic careers. Here's the thing. The seats for this council are up for a primary vote in June. That's the deciding election in this county. An election the only truly motivated people bother to vote in during off election years. Unfortunately for you, you've made us care, and we've filled these speaking slots within 3 minutes of them opening. For those of you who are facing term limits, we're coming for your seats. For those of you who plan to run again, we're coming for yours. This resolution is the final straw for a number of businesses, groups, and individuals in this county who have seen you come close to destroying everything they've built. They're willing to put money behind getting a council who won't try to bankrupt them and by extension the county. If you're a business or individual looking to make change, contact me. And if you're interested in running for one of these seats, contact me too. We started contacting lawyers about a legal challenge to this poorly thought out law if you pass it. The SCOTUS just knocked down the OSHA mandate. Do you want the black guy involved in national tension on this amateur attempt at lawmaking? They'll ask you, who's responsible for determining exemptions? Why require a five-year-old to be vaccinated for an indoor playground but not require them in senior centers? It's a joke, but so are you.
Damn.
What's the objective here? The vaccine doesn't stop transmission. The county is already one of the most vaccinated in the country. The burden is on you to prove that this is necessary, and it's not. Get back to doing what you do best. Passing meaningless statements of support for made-up holidays. Go to cut some ribbons outside shopping malls. Go talk to a disgruntled resident about sidewalks or bike lanes. Or better yet, deal with the astronomical increase in crime in this county instead of putting police resources towards enforcing a vaccine mandate.
Yes.
Before we have a vaccine mandate version of Eric Garner. This kind of mandate is wholly inappropriate and not within your job descriptions, even if you call yourself the Board of Health. You're unskilled bureaucrats and nothing more. Stay in your lane.
Yes.
Wow.
Stay in your lane, you unskilled bureaucratic jokes.
It doesn't matter.
We need about 7 million more of her.
No, we do, because that's what it's going to take. Because it just falls on deaf ears with these lunatics.
I know. And I cut off the audio, but right after she got done speaking, there's this sort of long, awkward pause. And then one of the commissioner goes, thank you for your testimony.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It doesn't matter.
And you can see it. If you see the video, you can, you know, it's one of those Zoom meetings. So you can see the woman speaking, and then you see on top of the screen all of the commissioners, and they're all just looking down at their papers. It's typical what you see at a lot of city council meetings, county board meetings, things like that, where someone's up there giving passionate testimony, a resident about whatever, and everybody's up there on the dais just sort of looking down at their papers, waiting for it to end, sort of half listening. That was a fantastic takedown, and we need more and more of that happening. But I would imagine most of it fell on deaf ears of the people that need to hear it.
Well, you just need to look at the comments coming from local city council members to know how they feel about it. It was Nadia Mohammed, one of the city council members on the St. Louis Park City Council, right? One of the individuals that voted for the mandate for St. Louis Park that goes into effect on Friday now, right? She said, we know what this is about when it comes to those that don't want to wear masks and are unvaxxed. It's about white supremacy. I mean, they're activists. Mm-hmm. They can't see beyond their own activism. It's not going to help anything. And the Pioneer Press doesn't help either. We mentioned this earlier in this article for Minneapolis and St. Paul vaccine or test mandate starts today, right? So this is for your bars, restaurants, distilleries, breweries, bowling alleys, movie theaters, anywhere that serve food or drinks, right? So sports venues, ticketed locations, places where there are ticketed events. That starts on January 26th. But what are they doing here? All they do is focus on the individual that are for it. Some establishments have already been requiring proof of vaccination or negative test. And this St. Paul business said it's gone well for them. Peter Dernan, chef and general manager at the restaurant W.A. Frost, said it has been an asset for us.
Sure.
There has been tons of people, all different ages, all different socioeconomic backgrounds, all political parties, who have felt more comfortable coming in. Yes, because you did background checks and you asked them all their party affiliation before they came into their restaurant.
And everybody volunteered it, I'm sure.
Maybe he went around, like sometimes when the owners walk around when you're at a restaurant, say, how's your meal going? Mm-hmm. Maybe he just went around and said, you know, can you show me a bank statement, please? And who did you vote for in the last election?
Yeah, right.
Maybe that's what happened.
I'm sure that happened.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and apparently those idiots that maybe did that, they're that dumb because the vaccines don't stop transmissions. We know that already.
Yeah, everybody knows that now.
Coming up, I got a couple of items to get to. Video shows Pennsylvania official admitting election laws were broken in 2020. What? Plus, what? Plus, a Wisconsin judge rules that ballot drop boxes used in 2020 election were illegal. What?
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 Laws were broken?
Yeah.
In the 2020 election?
Yeah.
Oh, weird. I was told that never happens.
I was told that was a big lie. Yeah. Oh, wait. No, it was the big lie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all coming up on Justice and Drew.